Here at Encounter, I want you to know that we have given our entire lives to a design of discipleship-based ministry. And what that means to us is intentional meetings of love and encouragement mixed in with some hard questions. Hard questions about how our character matches up with Christ's. Our worldwide staff, internationally, disciples 74 students each week. Every week, our staff is meeting with 74 students. We have 47 of those students intentionally leading small groups each week. This is incredibly important because we have such a large percentage in those groups. Our best guess is that this might be the first semester that we actually have more students in small group than we do in large group. Most churches I know are trying to get to that 50% of our large group attending our small groups. I believe we're at about 105%. When a student sees a staff discipling and they see their small group leader discipling, a culture begins to breed. Students begin to take it upon themselves to meet with each other. And the result, besides keeping the coffee shops in business, is life change. And lots of it. One of those lives is that of Danielle, who once sat in the back row of Encounter, full of insecurities, who had been transformed now into a bubbling, encouraging woman of God. Another is of Kelly, who has overcome a variety of disabilities to experience God for the very first time. There's Joe, who with little effort could have been handed a high-paying job, but chose to do the hard thing, and he overcame his OCD tendencies to pursue a dental career. There's Josh, who has started his own business using Encounter students and recycled tires to provide African jobs and clean water. And when asked about what role Encounter had in discipling them, this is what they said.
Hi, I'm Kelly. I am a freshman, and I'm going to be a social work major.
My name is Josh Weingart, and I'm a senior here at Illinois State University, and I'm a finance and entrepreneurship double major.
Hi, my name is Joe Powers. I'm a junior, and I'm a biology major, chemistry minor, pre-dental.
My name's Danielle, and I am a junior special education major here at Illinois State.
This year I went to a winter retreat, and there was one time where we were worshiping, the song Give Me Faith came on, and for the first time in my life, I actually felt the presence of God, and I felt a real relationship with Him. And during that weekend, I learned that the two things that you need to be whole in your life is you need to know that God loves you unconditionally and that God has big plans for you in the future. And that weekend was extremely impactful for me.
After going to Encounter for a while, I had the realization that before in my life I tried to take control over everything and make it happen the way that I thought would be best. And that was one example of that is with my OCD. I tried to take control of it myself and get over it myself and push my faith away instead. And after going to Encounter for a while, I kind of learned how great it is just to put your struggles on God and that He's there with you and that it's not a struggle that I'm facing alone and that I have to fix on my own. It's a struggle that I can work through with God. And it's brought the obsessive compulsive disorder that I had in the past and that I still deal with today, it's something that I've learned to love because it is the reason why I was brought to Encounter and it's the reason why I have a relationship with God today. And it's brought me so much in my life. And I don't have to face that struggle on my own. I could face it with God.
I think God has been teaching me about faithfulness and just living my life for Him all the time, and that He's going to provide for me in every way that He can, whether that be with family or friends or schoolwork. And I'm really busy this semester, and He's just shown me so much love and peace in my heart, and just being and living my life for Him, He's changing me in so many ways and just showing me that faithfulness is all I need, and He's going to change my life.
After I went to retreat, I made the decision to get baptized. I felt God telling me to get baptized, and I literally could not get it out of my head, even if I tried to. I prayed about it, and He was telling me to get baptized because lately and in the past, I've dealt with seasonal depression, and I felt like He was telling me that this is the answer I've always been looking for, and that this was the way to me being whole. And now I felt like I made the right decision, and now I am fully following Christ.
Things have changed for me from freshman year. It's just coming in as a very, I would say, sheltered and quiet kid, and now leaving as a senior, being one very extroverted, somebody that I would not really know who I was coming in as freshman year. Encounter definitely had a huge stake in my transformation. My faith wasn't as strong coming in as it is now leaving. And I feel like Encounter really had that role and purpose with my life. The people I've met in Encounter and the people I've interacted with on campus has really helped make a stepping stone for who I am today. And it's really being the rock that we build our church on, going out and really being the hands and feet of Jesus, really what I feel like Encounter is all about.
Having Encounter and a Christian community in college has meant so much to me. It is people who will walk beside me in the trials that I am facing every day, and I can have someone to hold my hand or to challenge me and to help me to grow. And Encounter has been that for me. Like, this is my family. I've never felt so welcomed anywhere. I've never felt so loved and so encouraged by everyone. The things that Encounter does for the community and for this nation, like mission trips and everything, it's just been amazing to find college students who want to change the world, because the students here at Encounter want to change the world, and we want to change this community. And it's just awesome. Like, we have so many blessings in our lives, and we get to take that love and compassion and show it to this campus and just be there for one another.
God has blessed us with each other, and it's a family-oriented place to just be ourselves and to celebrate what God has done for us.
No matter what you're dealing with on a current day, you could always find someone to help you. So if you're dealing with maybe struggles with motivation in school, there's always someone in the community who can bring you up in that. Or if you're dealing with stress struggles, then there's always someone in the community who can be there to pray for you or be there to help you through that.
We will literally drop anything to go have coffee with you, to go sit down, to just be with you.
College is hard, and there are a lot of challenges, not only with schoolwork or college temptations. We have people who want to serve the Lord here at Encounter. Our community is a family. It's not just a bunch of college students together. It's a family. Like, we love each other all so much.
I've never found the type of community anywhere else on a college campus before, and that's why I feel like it makes Encounter really unique and special to me.
Dallas Willard once said that our churches are perfectly designed to get the exact results that they're currently getting. Our churches are perfectly designed to get the exact results that we are currently getting. It's a beautiful thing to see how some churches are perfectly designed to outreach to the youth. It didn't just happen overnight. It started with someone who understood that young people are often overlooked and will be tomorrow's leaders, and someone else concluded that activities are very important to that demographic. Still others donated money for a multi-purpose facility, and then they trained sponsors, developed programs, initiated follow-up, and over the years, they are perfectly designed for youth outreach. There's a lot of design that goes into getting the results that we want. Some churches are perfectly designed to teach the word. They don't expect that just by putting a steeple on a church that there's going to be the word preached accurately. They understand, so they end up getting a search committee that looks for months for a highly trained, well-schooled theologian. It wouldn't be bad if he knew how to communicate. And then Sunday school, it's not just an afterthought. It's not just entertainment. To a church like this, Sunday school is a time of training and scripture memory. They offer adult classes on doctrine and church history. This is a church that is perfectly designed for biblically sound teaching. The same could be said for churches that are perfectly designed for ministering to the poor or for providing water in Africa, and the list goes on and on and on. What is your church perfectly designed for? These are all very good commissions. But what about the Great Commission? You know the one that we see here on the screen? The Great Commission that says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Who is perfectly designed for this? What churches are perfectly designed for that? Truth is, our churches, of no fault of their own, really have some obstacles to overcome. I understand. Problem number one, everyone's so busy. It's hard enough to make disciples here, let alone across the world. I thought I was busy before I had kids. And now I've got kids. And I'm on the go. Piano practice, cross country, basketball, softball, and soccer. We need to change diapers, make dinner, helpful homework. There's house repairs, car repairs, dentist appointments, doctor visits. And now this week, we got to start mowing our lawn. When do we have time to make disciples? Problem two, everyone's so spread out. In this day and age, people are coming from different counties to come to church. And we need to try to find a time where we can actually get together and disciple one another. But it's almost impossible because we only see each other on Sunday morning, and we actually get the guts to try to make something happen on a Tuesday evening or a Wednesday evening. We end up finding out that Joe works days at State Farm, Nancy works nights, and Dave, well, he's up on a Chicago circuit selling pharmaceuticals this month. How are we going to get together? We're so spread out. Problem three, everyone's so tied down. Oh, Pete, I'd love to go. I'd love to make some disciples in the other nations. I got a week off in July. Well, it's going to take more than a week. I might be able to squeeze out two. We're actually needing probably 2-3 years to make disciples in other nations. Well, I don't have that kind of time. I got responsibilities. I got a job. I got a mortgage. considering all the things that go against the church naturally, I don't blame the church for not being able to fulfill what is on the screen here. But we cannot ignore that the last words that Jesus ever shared with us are these words. We desperately want to fulfill Jesus' great commission. But practically speaking, we keep running into a wall. And we almost always are left with one thing left to do. Pray. We get our Operation World book out and we pray through the statistics. We pray for the native workers that we don't even know. We set aside a week of prayer for the persecuted church. We set aside another week of prayer for the church planters. Our missions committees are praying for the few missionaries that are on the field. Our Bible colleges are praying that God would raise up more missionaries. Our churches are setting up short-term trips, and we call them prayer journeys. Oftentimes, I find myself just praying this random prayer. Say, God, would you please take all of these prayers, all of these weird things that might be going on, and just somehow start a church in India. But after reading a quote from Mike Breen this week, even that makes me pause. He said, if you try to build the church, you will rarely get disciples. But if you make disciples, you're always going to get the church. Always. Perhaps Jesus never intended for the words on this screen to be results to shoot for. But rather all along, perhaps he was actually giving us the design. This is the design, folks. This is what we're supposed to do. Maybe all along he's been saying it's not complicated, but it is intentional. You'll have to rearrange your life to go. And when you do, surely I will be with you always to the very end of the earth, to the very end of the days, to the very end of the age. I look at this and I think, there was a prayer I prayed when I was 20 years old, and I asked God, what is it that you want to do with my life? And there was something overwhelmingly clear through this scripture that he answered me. And he said, in so many words, I felt like he was really telling me, Pete, everybody wants me to come to bless them where they're at. Would you be a part of what I'm about? If you came over here and if you actually adjusted your life to invest in the nations, you're going to meet me, you're going to see me, you're going to experience me differently and stronger than anyone else ever can, because you're on my terms. Ashamedly, I think I've lost some of that over the years. We did spend a couple of years overseas, and Paulette and I did actually get to experience an awful lot of the Lord in our rearrangement of our life. But I think there's a special promise that he said he will be with us always for those of us who meet him on his terms. And perhaps he's saying, if you can't rearrange your life to go, then you better be rearranging your finances to send. But Pete, I don't know where to send our finances. I don't know where this discipleship is actually happening around the world. I'm so glad you asked. Imagine a congregation that was perfectly designed to follow this design. Imagine a congregation, an entire congregation with no children. Hard to believe. Hard to imagine. Imagine how much free time you'd have. Imagine a congregation with no marriage problems. Imagine a congregation with no mortgages. and where they're not split up all over, but they actually live in 1 square mile. Imagine an entire congregation made up with people in the prime of their life wrestling with the 4 biggest questions that they will ever face in their life. The questions of who will I marry? What will I believe? What will I do? And who is going to be in my community? These are the answers, the questions that are wrestling around within every 18 to 22-year-old on this campus. And these questions make them hungry. And we all know that hungry people are prime candidates for change. Now, I want you to imagine. I want you to imagine a discipleship culture running loose within that congregation. A life-changing opportunity for people around. I am telling you that the life-changing stories that some ministers cling to for years, I get to see every week. And finally, try to imagine taking all of that that I just described and dropping it in the Philippines, where over 90% of their graduates will be scattered around the world. Within Encounter, just over the last 7 months, since September, just within Encounter, there have been 60 students, 6-0, that have been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are now hearing discipleship stories from Northern Africa, India, Hong Kong, China, Sweden, Israel, and now Thailand. God is doing something within our ministry that I honestly have never seen nor heard of in campus ministry. And we believe that we are just seeing the beginning. Our board is convinced that Encounter is a major vehicle in which God will use to disciple the world. And we have made some aggressive increases to the budget to keep pace with that rapid growth. We are asking tonight that you would join our team to rearrange some finances. Your meal tonight was $18. So any one-time gifts that you would like to contribute are going to go towards the meal and towards maybe some random things at the campus house, but I appreciate those gifts. They will help offset that cost, but let me talk to you tonight about the yellow cards at the center of your table. The yellow card at the center of your table is your opportunity to give electronically on a monthly basis to this place. I think you can appreciate that this is really what we need. We need support that we can count on month to month for our staff. And in the next few minutes, I'm going to ask that you put all checks, forms, papers, cards, and anything else that you think might be important into that manila envelope at the center of your table. Before you do that, I want to leave you this. I am assuming that as followers of Christ, you are either giving 10% or you're striving to give 10%. I know that Paulette and I are always rearranging our percentages to honor the Lord most effectively. And so in the next few minutes, would you ask God this question? What percentage of my income, God, do you want me to give directly to this design? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to give you a few minutes to just mull over that, to let the Lord speak to you in that, and we trust the Lord in you. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you before you even write a check, because the investments that you guys have made in your children, in your grandchildren, in this place is really beginning to change the world. And I can tell you with confidence that this is a time in my life where I have always believed in campus ministry, but I am beginning to see it in a light that is beginning to give me goosebumps all over again. I'm beginning to see things that are absolutely astounding to me as to what will happen when we intentionally meet kneecap to kneecap with other people and we look in their eyes, we encourage, we love, and we ask hard questions. It doesn't seem like much when it's one-on-one, when you look at one isolated instant, but when you start adding them together, this design that Jesus gave us is changing the world. And I want you to be a part of the team. In so many ways you've already have. And we don't have outlets for asking for people to give outside of this. This is our main thing all year. And I'll be out there this year. I'll be meeting with people. And if you want to say, hey, Pete, I got a small group to come talk to, I'll be there. But tonight, I just want you to give the Lord a chance to speak to you. To take some time and to ask that prayer. Just, God, what percentage of my income do you want me to give to this design? Let's pray. Father God, I am humbled to be standing here representing what you have done. This is all happened so fast, I don't even really know how it's happened in some cases. I just believe that you have chosen to breathe your Holy Spirit upon this place, upon this ministry, and through these students' lives. I want to thank you for the hunger that these students have, for the transformation that goes on in their lives that has been so encouraging to us. I want to thank you for the many students that we don't know their names in the Philippines, but oh my goodness, where they are going and how they are making a living in India, Africa, and Israel, would you go with them? Would you be with them? Would you wrap yourself around them? Would you help them to feel our prayers tonight? Because they are the change, bringing your change, the change of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're thankful for your love, for your grace, for this night, for this year. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.